Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So again, the media is at fault for Kevin Durant getting hurt. That's at least where some people want to go. Right? But isn't it Golden State's fault? Isn't it Kevin Durant's fault? Why are we putting the emphasis on what a bunch of guys like me and a bunch of fans like you and the influence we may have had in the decision for a guy with a calf strain to go out and play an NBA basketball game and get hurt? But you know what? We are easy targets. We are easy to take the blame because there's no sympathy for the members of the media who write and cover sports for a living that may be on the wrong side of an opinion or maybe too harsh with an opinion. Certainly there were plenty of people, and I'm not afraid to admit I was one of them, that was questioning this injury all through the month of May and into early June. But because I did not know where the injury was and because I felt like I was not getting the right information, all I did was speculate. Most of the media did speculate. Most of the media was wondering when Kevin Durant was going to be available. It felt like the Warriors were playing every single game, he's just got to get ruled out, but you never know kind of ball game. And when you have that, then it made you wonder, when is the button going to be pushed and Superman's going to come to the rescue for this basketball team that's facing elimination? Did he come back too soon? Well, yeah, now we know he did. Was he cleared to play by the medical staff? Yes, he was. Were they influenced by the media? Well, they better not be, because if they were, then they all need to be let go, because you never want your media medical staff being influenced by anybody, not even the owner of the team or the player themselves. They have to go in independent mind. It. They have to go in without any pressure. And that's a very difficult thing to do, especially when your paycheck is coming from the organization that kind of desperately needs him to come back as soon as possible and make it happen. That being said, the media here is an easy target. Jalen Rose took his shot. A number of others have taken their shot. We are complicit in the idea that we may have been more vocal about the severity of this injury and questioning that. But ultimately, it's Golden State and Durant who are on that court on Monday night.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, so again, Game 6 Thursday night in Oakland. Oracle should be loud and fun. Hope we get a Game 7. I think the series will be fun if it does. But at the same time, Toronto really doesn't deserve this series to go 7. They've played a great series. They have really played a great series. And for them to be put into a position, win or die kind of mentality, game seven, they played a lot better than Golden State. It's just the way the ball bounces sometimes in these games. They did lose game two. Monday night's game was close. They had a lead. They kind of blew it. They lost the momentum out of the timeout, which has been really criticized. But they lost by one. Couldn't get the shot off, a good shot off at the end. Good defense by the Warriors. But, man, they've had their way with Golden State. But if the Warriors pull this off and get to Game 7 and win that Game 7, it'll be one of the greatest comebacks, greatest finals team that you'll ever see. And because you won't see a team that'll go through this kind of ordeal. The injuries, the loss of a major star that could not come back to really be of any significant help in a 7-game series. And then their fortitude fighting back from a 3-1 deficit. It will be one of the greatest finals teams of all time. And as I said earlier, look, we've had a very long period of time in sports. 5 years is an eternity because so much can change for a franchise. But we've had 5 years now where the Golden State Warriors have lost one playoff series. And that's it. One. 4 full years, and now going into the last few games of this. There's only been one team that ever beat them. And that's Cleveland. And that's it. Everyone else, all through the first, second, third, four, all of them have fallen short. And this is why they're tough. They're a tough out. And I think on Thursday night, I think you're going to get the best Golden State Warriors team that you've seen in these finals on Thursday night. At least you better, because Toronto knows they can beat this team, have beaten this team on the road, and knows they can do it. Also tomorrow, the start of the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. Did you hear this with Brooks Koepka? He's mad at Fox. They did not include him in a promo that they're running. They left out the two-time defending champion in a promo. Koepka said later, this is amazing. He goes, "We're amazed that I wasn't in it," Koepka said. "Just kind of shocked. They've had over a year to put it out, so I don't know. Somebody probably got fired over it. Or should." Oh, way to go, Koepka. Throws out the whole "can the guy that didn't put me in the golf promo." But seriously, we talked about him at the PGA last month. He's a great player, a major champion, multiple major champion, deserves the respect that we can possibly give, except he's not really the golf hero we want.
No. I think it's because this was one of the first times I think I've seen personality out of him.
Yeah, you don't get anything out of him.
You don't get. I mean, I thought it was fantastic. Maybe they did it on purpose. Leave him out of the promo. See if we can get a rise out of him.
Yeah, maybe they did, or maybe they just went, "Listen, I don't want to be the one to tell him that, but you don't sell." We're trying to get people to watch this.
We don't care how many majors you're going to win.
All right, I'm sorry. You don't sell. People don't recognize you. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
It is kind of funny. Do you think we've seen him a lot on TV, and you and I we talk about him and cover him, but if he was to walk by me in a grocery store, I don't think I'd recognize him.
I would be like, "It looks kind of famous," but I wouldn't recognize him, of course.
He looks like a dad.
God. It's unreal. It's too bad, but it's unreal. Like Spieth, I'd recognize.
Of course.
I think Justin Rose, I'd recognize. Rory, definitely. But
Jason
not
Day,
Koepka.
I think I would
Jason
recognize.
Jason Day, I'd recognize.
Especially but if he Koepka, started talking.
Forget it. Forget it. By the way, this is a really good chance, probably the best chance, for Mickelson to win the U.S. Open and complete the career Grand Slam. He's won at Pebble Beach five times in his career. He's never won the Open. He's come close, but he's never won the Open. Multiple runner-up finishes. But this is a golf course he likes. He plays well at. And I'm kind of hoping a good run for Phil. I've been rooting for Phil for this U.S. Open thing for a long time. I'd love to see him get the career Grand Slam. Very few golfers in the history of sport have done it. Mickelson can do it with the U.S. Open win, but, oh, my gosh, he just can't get it. He just can't capture it. So, but listen, I don't know how much they're going to trick up Pebble Beach, because I don't think he could trick up Pebble Beach all that much. I mean, this is a golf course that's on it's on a cliff. It's got wind. And
I'm telling you,
it's got ocean.
We're going to have floating islands.
Yeah. I mean, don't mess with the rough too much. Don't mess with the greens too much. There's a lot of weather comes into play here. Be careful.
You add a par five where you have to hit it on top of a cruise ship.
Yeah, very true, right? Exactly. And it's moving.
And then you got to go old school. You got to take like a pirate dinghy. You got to row yourself out there.
Yep. Don't mess with the golf course too much. Plus, it's beautiful.
You can't.
No,
you can't.
It's
gorgeous. I mean, the only thing you can do is change hold placement, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that's really it.
The USGA has been notorious over the last couple of years of just taking these iconic golf courses like Shinnecock, that has been around for over 100 years. Bethpage back in the day, Marion a couple of years ago. And they've gone into these golf courses and they go, "Let's make it goofy golf. We're not going to water the greens. We're going to grow the rough so thick you can't find your ball. And they do all of this. We're going to extend the tee boxes and make these holes longer." They had a controversy. I want to say at Marion, because Marion is one of those old golf courses, like where back in the, where 6,700 yards was like a good distance for the golf, a Bobby Jones, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so but there was one hole in particular. Like, I wish I could remember the story, but it was something about, it was a short hole, but it was very, very strategic. It was kind of a classic short hole, like trouble here. You might want to hit iron off the tee, go for the green, but there's some danger. And they what they did was they put the tee boxes so far back, and they said, well, now it's just a two-shot hole. Like, now you've made it so that I hit driver, and then I hit, like, 9-iron. Where it's instead, make it a 310-yard hole where, yeah, I could hit my driver, but if I miss the green, I'm way in the back, and it might be in the woods. Or if I hit it too short or to the left or to the right, there's some places of danger. Make me hit a 5-iron off the tee or 6-iron off the tee or something into better position where it's more flat. Like, all of they took the strategy completely out of the hole because they wanted to make the course longer. And a lot of golfers said, you're taking what makes this game kind of cool. Is that ability, that strategic element to it. Don't automatically think because a hole is 310 yards long that we'll just hit driver and knock it on the green. I mean, we'll hit driver and then we might spray it left or right. And if you've got trouble on either side, that makes us think. So they do this with the course. Now, they've had the U.S. Opens here before. The last time they had it was in 2010. Graham McDowell won. This is where Dustin Johnson kind of blew up. But before that was 2000. Tiger Woods won by 15 shots back in 2000. You want to know how dominant he was at this golf course? He finished at 12 under par. Second place was plus +3. That is, I mean, that's another game. You're playing another game when you're doing that, where everybody else is trying to get to par, and you're like, oh, I think I could go double digits below par. It was just a remarkable, remarkable U.S. Open. It really put Tiger. Tiger had been obviously on the stage for winning at Augusta, at Medina for the PGA, but the U.S. Open in 2000 was when he really, everybody said, look out, he's really the world
one
of the world's
best. Maybe we should pay attention to this guy.
Yeah, maybe we should.
Will,
yeah.
Maybe he is living up to all the hype. Because I remember when he first came on, it was still a question of like, oh, you know, he's a child prodigy.
Yeah.
Even when the first U.S. Open he competed in as an amateur. Got like a, you know, he was one of the amateurs invites or something like that.
Yep, exactly.
And he was making noise there.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, God, who is this kid?
15-stroke win at the U.S. Open. Nuts. By the way, professional flag football is back in New York. The American Flag Football League kicks off with their playoff games at the Atlantic Health Jets Training Center beginning this weekend, June 15th. Starting at noon Eastern time, watch as the nation's best flag football players battle it out for their chance to take on legends Mike Vick and Nate Robinson in the ultimate final for a grand prize of $200,000, the title of AFFL champion. Be sure to catch the action streaming on AFFL's Facebook and YouTube channels, AFFL.com, and streaming partners, Whistle Sports, Facebook Sports, and Wave TV. All right, coming up, what did Dabo say that's got him in some hot water? That's next, SB Nation AM.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing. Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. You know, I get calls every week from friends asking for a second opinion on a car repair. Now, if you ever had your car in a shop and it seems like their diagnosis is way off base, well, it might be. Repairing cars is much more complex than the old days, and honest mistakes can be made. But you want to make sure that everybody's on the same page and talking about the same problem. Perhaps you have two problems. If so, you want to make sure that you're talking about the same thing because you can only afford to fix one of them. I wouldn't hesitate to say, hang on a minute, let me check with someone, and I'll get back to you. Then call another shop, describe the symptoms, and see if they've heard of that problem before. Not only can this save you money, but it'll also make you feel better about the repair and how much money you're spending. This is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. More tips, go to letstalkwheels.com and go to our new podcast, Let's Talk Wheels Podcast. Find it on iTunes, Google Play, and sign up for it.
Every legend starts somewhere, and yours can start today at the Jeep Celebration Event. With great deals on the most legendary SUV lineup, explore the unknown in the unforgettable luxury of Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Be prepared to take your adventures even farther with up to 31 mpg highway in Jeep Cherokee. Experience the joy of open-air freedom like never before through the available panoramic dual-pane sunroof of Jeep Compass. And no matter where your travels might take you, Jeep Wrangler, the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the year, is built to get you there. Start building your legend today. Hurry in for a great deal at the Jeep Celebration Event. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So Dabo Sweeney's in some trouble. So he was on a Sirius XM back in February. And Mike Krzyzewski, I think, was on with him. And so the question was asked of him about, is there a wall around the state of Alabama that doesn't let you in anymore? Or around Pelham, Alabama, I guess where that's where he's from, can you still go home? Right, this is obviously a nice little fun question. Yeah. He's beating Alabama. He's from Alabama. Can he go home? What do people think of him at home? Is there a wall around it? And this is how he answers it. He says, I think it was all fun and games early on, and it was, oh, isn't that sweet, and all that stuff. I don't know about walls, but I'm kind of like Osama bin Dabo, Sweeney said, laughing. Ooh. I have to navigate my way through the caves and back channels to make my way through Alabama these days. They aren't happy to see me, but it's all good. It's a good problem. So he calls himself Osama bin Dabo in reference to the fact that he's got to navigate through caves to get to Alabama, kind of as a play on words, a little fun, not kind of thinking about the significance of a man that gave us one of the worst states in this country's history.
I can see where the intent was.
Me too. I don't think this is as awful as people think from the standpoint of intent.
Yes.
I think he was just kind of off the top of his head. Yeah.
The actual message or the, I guess in a way that'd be comparing yourself in some ways, I'm trying to find some humorous way to compare yourself to Hitler.
Yeah, see, that's the whole thing, right? When we say don't ever use Hitler in a comparison, don't ever use Hitler as an example. It just makes a mess. People don't really hear what you're saying. Same way with Osama bin Laden, right? If you invoke his name in a conversation of comparison or something, it just people they don't want you to use it because it's just they don't hear the message.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only time you could use either of those guys in comparing is when you compare against them against each other and saying who's more evil.
Exactly. So here's the deal. He wasn't talking about Osama bin Laden. I think he should apologize for this. It's a dark moment in our country, and it's very
still
distasteful.
It's still fresh.
It's distasteful. He should apologize for it. But I don't think people should go completely bananas over this, only because, look, if he had used Osama bin Dabo, as he says, in a reference to destroying something, right? Like if he had talked, in some capacity, that would be awful.
I destroyed Alabama's defense.
They call me Osama bin Dabo because I destroyed Alabama's defense, right?
Not a good choice.
That's distasteful and terrible. But what he was trying to, he was trying to make a joke about how do you get in and out of Alabama, and the first thing that came to his mind was probably, oh, Osama bin Laden's in caves, and he's got a navigation
and
of
dig
caves.
Tunnels.
Yeah, and he had to dig tunnels, and that's probably what I got to do, and that's the example I'll use, not putting it in the right context. So listen.
Dabo, just come out, and this is what you need to say. It's like, you know what? I have to sneak into Alabama like that gopher from Caddyshack.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
No one's ever mad at that gopher from Caddyshack.
No.
People are trying to get rid of that gopher, which is probably what they want to do with you because you keep beating up their state.
Exactly. Use it. Yeah. Find a better example. Come out and apologize. I think this is water under the bridge. I think most people will move on.
We'll move on from this one. It's just not a good look. This is a slap on the wrist.
This is a slap on the wrist. It's not a good look. Now, again, if you had compared yourself to being a terror coach and a terrorist, yeah, then we'd have a problem, and you'd probably need to really do a little bit more research on the effects of 9/11. But in this way, I think he was just I do this 3 hours a day. Sometimes you come up with analogies that you think work, and then the moment you open your mouth, you're like, oh, this isn't going the way. Whoops, I made a mistake here. And sometimes you don't eject like you probably should. And I don't think his brain ejected like he probably should. He probably didn't realize. He probably said, oh, that'll be a good thing to say. Oh, wait, that's not a good thing to say.
I mean, there wasn't a little guy up there who maybe you know what it is. I fully believe that the movie Inside Out is real.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
That maybe, you know, one guy did have the key inserted, but you needed the other guy to turn the key at the same time, and he was off at a bathroom break.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, they hit the abort button.
I mean, it's like, do you remember when Bob Knight was doing that interview, and was it Connie Chung that asked him, and he said something about if you're getting raped, just enjoy it or something exactly. like that? It's like, God, where is your brain? Like, where is those voices in your head that go, no, we're not going, don't, no, stop talking.
Yeah, when you cut to it, when that happens in a movie, there's always a white angel and a red devil that appear
yeah,
on your
right?
shoulder.
Right.
You know, that's when you flick the red devil and say, get off my shoulder. This is going to be bad.
So many times these people start with something and then they realize halfway through, oh, no. But then they just go, ah, screw it. I'll just keep going.
Yeah. You know, what it is, though? I mean, it happens to all of us. How many times have you wanted to abort a conversation you're having with your wife and going, I shouldn't have not said that?
No, exactly.
Happens all the time. Happened to me yesterday, I think.
Have you ever told, have you ever been around people where you start telling, like you say to yourself, oh, I got a funny story. And then you start telling it, and about halfway through, you realize, nah, this isn't going to land.
No, like, all the time.
It's the
worst. That's every day for me, Tony. Oh, that's what coming on the radio.
It's the worst.
Start telling the story. I'm like, oh, I should have stopped that one before I even started.
That moment where you have to go, you probably should have just been there. Right? Like the moment you just give up. Oh, it's the worst. I hate that. That's why I try not to do it. Like, oh, I got a funny story that happened to me at the mall the other day. And then halfway through, you're like, nah, this isn't funny. I don't know what I'm doing. So then you just change the story and make up a complete lie.
Yep. Well, you know, it's like, oh, you know what? Yeah, you really should have been there. Why weren't you there?
Yeah, right. And then the Jamba Juice machine exploded and it was all over me and I had to go get the change of clothes. Like you just start because you just get that. You just read the room and the room isn't giving you the kind of feedback that you want.
That's when you make something up. Like with the Jamba Juice story, that's when I would go, that's the last time I'll wear white pants and order a peanut butter smoothie.
That's right. That's where you go. But when you're doing this interview and you think, oh, it'll be cute to compare me to Osama bin Laden because I have to go through caves like he went through caves. And then you realize they're not laughing. Like they're not. Just, they're not.
You
know what, I'm not getting.
Hearing you describe it is kind of funny. Right? I'm sorry. I mean, Dabo, you're better than that.
You're way better than this. You're way better than this, Dabo.
I'm not laughing at the joke. I'm not laughing at the point. Like, I can't believe that's the route you go.
Yeah, I know.
That's who you drew inspiration from. Come on, man.
That's the point. That's the best point right there. What you just said is the best point. Of all of the examples that you could have come, your brain could have come up with off the top of your head and how you have to sneak in and out of Alabama. The first thing you think about is Osama bin Laden. That's how you think. Not like Hogan's Heroes or anything like that. Like Osama bin Laden is the first.
Why not just go Bugs Bunny?
Bugs Bunny is the better one.
I should have just made a left turn at Albuquerque.
Absolutely. Bugs Bunny is a better one. Right? Anything. The gopher is a really good example. But to have a mindset of, one of the greatest terrorists in the history of the world. That's where I'm going.
You know, he's probably sitting there thinking, you know, she's telling the story, you know, or asking the question. You have to sneak in and out in the cloak of dark. And he probably ran through a couple of historical times that happened and was like, oh, you know, probably not a good time to reference Underground Railroad. You know, Vietnam War, I know there were tunnels being dug there. And he's probably going through them all and then just at the last minute panicked and went, Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Osama bin Dabo.
Yeah, exactly. Got it. Exactly. Oh, that's it. Yeah. So, Dabo, now, don't just apologize and move on. You'll be fine. You're going to win a national championship again. Probably.
Yeah, because you got the golden boy.
You got the golden boy. So, yeah.
As long as the golden boy's not offended.
That's how Dabo, I'm sure, listen, I went to South Carolina. I don't like Clemson. I like Dabo. But I'm, you know. On this one, just apologize and move forward, Dabble. You're good. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Tony D, Ron Culver, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's, please. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM.
on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Hey, let's talk some travel. Most of us do a little travel throughout the year, especially this time of year. It's summertime. So how are you booking your hotel rooms? Hey, I got a suggestion. BestHotelRates.com. 600,000 hotels worldwide. They've negotiated special rates with them and extended the discounts to you. You simply go to BestHotelRates.com, plug in your destination, dates of travel. Voila, you're looking at a discounted rate from any of the hotels you could pay for somewhere else. Save your money. Book your hotels through BestHotelRates.com. Top-notch customer service backs up your reservation so you stay safe and secure. BestHotelRates.com. Start planning your next trip today. It's in the name, BestHotelRates.com. You know what happened last night in the Texas Rangers-Boston Red Sox game? Hunter Pence hit an inside-the-park home run.
A little leaguer?
Yeah,
Little League home
right,
run? Or?
Little League home run, right? Yeah, just an inside-the-park home run. You know what's amazing is all the baseball games that I've seen in my life, either live or on TV, I still find the inside-the-park home run to be one of the coolest things the sport has. Maybe next to stealing home. It is the coolest thing because there is this moment where the ball... There's so many different ways to get it inside the park home run, right? One, you can get them through some errors, but most of it is the ball is down the line. It gets trapped. They can't get it out. You kind of got some wheels. You're at second. And it's like, is he going to go to third? Oh, yes, he is going to go. Why not go home and see? And you add all these cool little elements to it. And when you see it, because it's so rare, it's neat. Well, I kind of dig it.
You kind of put it up there with the triple play.
Yeah, right. The triple play. Exact. Triple plays are great, too.
You have to have certain circumstances in order for a triple play to. For me, the inside the park home run always seems to happen when the ball careens in a weird way off the wall.
A fielder is usually thinking it's going to bounce one way, and then it bounces past him, and then nobody's there to get it.
Right.
Maybe down the right field line, let's say, and the center fielder is just too. He's still in pursuit. He's not quite there yet, and it just gets lost.
But it. To me, like the way the Red Sox center field is positioned, I always feel like if you hit that ball just right and hit that inside part of that center field that kind of jets out, if you hit that just right, it's going to rocket all the way over to the green wall.
I think you might be right. Yeah, that's probably the way.
And if no one's covering them, it's, you know, yeah, just guy keeps on running. It always has to be a fast guy, too.
Yeah, I mean, it feels, I just feel like it's just watching the guy run. And getting the signals to just keep running is pretty awesome.
The best is when he's walking back to the dugout.
Yeah.
He's like,
right.
Lily needs to grab an oxygen mask.
Yeah, I know. Man, you know, it's 360 feet, man. That's a long way to run. That's a lot of chugging.
What did I see the other day? It was baseball related. And it was like an on this date, something to do with Ricky Henderson. I think it was the fact that he had... Like, it was maybe last week he had gotten his 50th stolen base.
Oh, was that where Ricky said, I'm the greatest today, I'm the greatest of all time?
I don't know if it's that.
It might have been his number.
But
day.
It was 50 at the mid. It was before the midway point even happened. He had 50 stolen base. I think that was the year he went on to get 123 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, Ricky was great.
And it just made me think that's a lost art.
That is a lost art,
We're not going to find someone that gets even close to 100 stolen bases anymore.
Yeah, that was the thing with Ricky Henderson, man. He really knew how to do it. He really had it. He made it into, like you said, an art form. He had everything down. He knew he was fast, but he had the timing perfect. He could steal all sorts of bases. Anytime he was on, he was going to steal a base, and you still couldn't stop him. Like, you knew he was going to steal, and you still couldn't stop him. It was amazing. He was incredible. I always liked Ricky Henderson because one of the things about his career is that I felt like he played with every Major League Baseball team in America
at one point.
Like, Ricky played a lot of baseball. But I think in his late 40s, mid-40s or something, he was still playing minor league ball, like in San Diego or something.
I think you're right, yeah.
I think he was always trying to continue to find a way to play baseball.
My favorite thing about him, because it was a fad in the early to mid-90s of referring yourself into third person.
Yes,
and
yes.
Ricky kept that going through his entire life.
He was great.
He probably still sit there. Yeah, Ricky's the greatest of all time.
Ricky's the greatest.
There, I know.
Was that story about John Olerud true? About he told John.
I'm almost positive it is.
I think it is, but somebody told me it wasn't, and I don't want to believe that. The story goes that John he was on first base with John Olerud. And John Olerud had he wore a batting helmet on the field.
Yeah.
And Ricky told him, I played with the guy with the Mets that wore a batting helmet on the field. And John Olerud said, I was that individual. And somebody said that that was an urban legend, but I don't want to believe that. So I think I'm always going to believe that that was true.
I'm going to believe it till the day I die.
Yeah, I'm going to believe that till the day I die, because that's a cool story and that epitomizes Ricky Henderson. And I think that's awesome. And so I don't want to believe that that's not true. I want to believe that Ricky Henderson played with John Olerud and didn't know that. That is awesome. He had so many teammates. You can't keep up with everybody you played with, right? You can't keep up with every single person.
All right.
Do you think LeBron James knows every single person he's ever been on a roster with in the NBA? Do you think like a guy who's never played on the Cavaliers in his early days just was? Or do you think an NBA team is just too close?
No. If you had to take a guess, how many teams would you say you played for?
Oh, Ricky Henderson, Major League Baseball teams?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 12.
Oh, you'd be really close. 13.
13? That's a lot of baseball teams.
Now, yeah, I say 13, but obviously...
That's a little less than half the teams.
He did play with the A's four times.
That actually might be... When was his last year in the majors?
Last year was 2003.
Okay, so...
With the Dodgers.
Sorry. Well, because I'm thinking with the Diamondbacks and the Rays arrival in major... How many teams are in Major League Baseball? 30? So there's 30 teams. So with their arrival in 98, you could kind of say 13 was close to half of the teams in baseball.
I mean,
because those two probably don't count.
Then obviously, he did play with the A's four separate times, but each time he went back, it was a different team.
Yeah, that's true. You can't expect Ricky Henderson to know every single person he's played with.
No, he entered the league in 1979 and left in 2003.
Yeah, it's too many teams, man. You can't, like, you could go up to Ricky Henderson and go, hey, man, I was on the Expos team with you. I don't know if he played for the Expos, but I was on the Expos team with you in 87. He'd probably go, oh, really? Okay, great. That's awesome.
And again, I mean, here's another one. He was first ballot Hall of Famer, but 94.8%.
Yeah.
Like, how?
Yeah. What does Ricky Anderson have to do? Why wouldn't you vote him?
He has four major league records still today. God. You know, great. Career stolen bases, career runs, career leadoff home runs. Because remember, like, later on in his career, all of a sudden he just started jacking home runs left and right. As a leadoff hitter, and then 130 stolen bases in a single season, which will never be touched.
No, never be touched. Never be touched. He was great. He used to hit leadoff home runs. I mean, he's the best. He's the best. And he talked about himself in the third person.
Yeah,
how could you hate Ricky Henderson?
Said Ricky.
Said Ricky. And nevertheless, I was just bringing that up because I think an inside the park home run was pretty awesome. How's David Ortiz doing? Any latest on the rumors about him having an affair with a drug lord's wife? This story's getting crazy.
All I know now is, I mean, he's safely had a second surgery in Boston.
Yeah. I saw a cartoon that said it had David Ortiz in a hospital bed. That said, after 14 years with the Red Sox, I'm not going to join the Angels. Which was kind of cool, but we all eventually joined the Angels. Like, there's no, unless you want to join the other group, but we all eventually joined the Angels. So I'm glad he's still kicking around. Kind of a neat little cartoon. But I'm a little worried for David Ortiz. I said this yesterday, and now there's more and more of this drug lord story that's popping out. I'm a little nervous. For David Ortiz. I hope that in America he's got more people around him that will have his back, but it's a little scary. So, I don't know. This seems to be more and more...
I know they got a second suspect now.
Oh, great. Good Lord.
But, it's such a... it's going to come out in a TV movie or something
that's what I'm kind of wondering about. Like, the more it has... momentum, like the story gets more and more, there's more information coming out, it builds up steam, and the more we find out about this, the more we're going to be like, oh no, because this is kind of it. it has the element of the TMZ world we're kind of all attracted to. Like, there's a little bit more to this story. It's got a little bit more. But at the same time, you're cautious about that information because it's scary and really dangerous, and the ramifications are really bad, right? Like, we all are kind of attracted to the seedy side of things, and that's why gossip magazines sell so well. But in this case, the more information that you know, if this story is true and it builds and you get more and more information on it, you almost really start to fear for David Ortiz, because the tentacles can reach anywhere, like anywhere at any time. And I don't want to hear that somebody was successful getting to David Ortiz like 3 weeks from now. So I'm hoping by being in America, he's more or less surrounding himself with people where that kind of stuff may not happen. So, but I read a piece in the New York Post with the Yankees and Mets. They brought it up, and some Dominican players for both teams said they've been told by their parents never to go back to that country.
Yeah.
It's so dangerous. Do not go back.
Well, there's also reports now. I think it's the Dominican where vacationers have just randomly been dying.
That's true. That's another problem.
I think it's the Dominican. I don't want to keep throwing that country under the bus.
Right. No, it is, because they've had a very bad PR like the last few weeks as a country. So it's just a scary time for Ortiz. Yeah. It really is.
Just stay away.
It really is. Yep. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Again on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, and that's Ron with two N's. SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. By the way, I got an iWatch for Christmas, and I think it's pretty cool. It's pretty neat. There's a lot of cool things you can do with it. But for whatever reason, and I don't know if I've got it on a certain setting or I've got an app on here that I didn't... This watch tells me when I should stand, when I should breathe, when I should move. Like, it's trying to keep up with... Don't tell me what to do, iWatch. I don't need your advice.
Man, if it's telling you to stand, when to breathe, it almost sounds like a Catholic priest.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. I'm not
stand
a nap.
Kneel down, sit down, breathe in,
this
breathe
thing will
out.
Go off. I'm laying down trying to take a nap like I like to do, because, I mean, we do an early show. I'm entitled to an afternoon nap. And I'm laying there, and this thing will go, bing, time to stand up. No, it's not time to stand up. I'm taking a nap. Leave me alone. Breathe. Take a deep breath. It's good for your health.
Oh, before I forget.
Yes.
I introduced a new generation to Press Your Luck.
Did you really? How did that go?
It was fun. It was fun. I don't know if you're on camera, which TV channel is, forgive me, TV channel.
I think it's ABC.
I think it's ABC. They're doing all these. They're bringing back old game shows.
Yes.
And they're keeping it pretty much to what it is. They're not altering it that much. I mean, obviously, the set looks a little different. I was kind of hoping for maybe more high-res Whammy, but they're using like the exact Whammy cartoon thing.
So the little demon comes up and goes,
I thought for sure it was going to be, you know, like kind of new age computer graphic animation or whatever. No, it looks identical to what you and I watched when we were kids.
Oh, okay.
My son was at the edge of a seat every single time. She's like, I'm going to press my luck. And he's like, oh, don't do that. You're an idiot. He's yelling at the TV, yelling at the contestants.
That's great.
The only thing they've done different, which I absolutely like, and it kind of brings, I guess, more emotion into the show, is that when they're in the final stage, when you're at the final stage, you first have five spins you have to go through. And then you have, if you decide to press your luck, then you have four. You decide to press your luck three, and
right,
so on and so forth.
Right.
And they keep changing the dollar amount. So the big buck starts at 10, goes to 25. Eventually, I guess it can go to $1 million if you're so inclined to go for it. But the other thing they do is, you remember how like when the board would be changing, it would always have special prizes like a trip to here or a car.
Yeah, that you could land on.
They cater it to that contestant.
Oh, no kidding. That's
cool.
So,
like, yesterday, the guy was on, like, they had they recently had a baby, so there was one that was baby stuff.
Oh, how sweet.
So it was, like, diapers and wipes and, you know,
I'm sure the guy was like, I could get that. I want to go to Aruba. I don't
But it was 3 years of baby stuff.
Oh, okay. Like, oh, my wife will appreciate this.
But the reason why I bring this up, because this made me think of you with your Sonic ice machine.
Yes. Yes.
This guy on the board, he didn't get it. He didn't win it, unfortunately. But on the board was a soft serve ice cream machine.
Oh, see, how awesome is that? Now, that's my kind of game
and
show.
And he's like, he's sitting there, he's like, I'm not a big sweets guy, but when it comes to soft serve, I can't say no.
I'm with that, man. I am totally with that. That's fantastic. And I'm sure it wasn't the stupid cheap kind that you could buy at the store for $30 bucks that
and
breaks.
I hope it's not the McDonald's kind.
No, that breaks constantly. You can never get what you want whenever you go there. I'm talking about the real deal soft serve machine that you need that special milk, that special, that just doesn't, brings out that nice flavor. Oh, I bet it was the best on the market.
Would have been, but we didn't get a chance to really invest of how much it was worth. He did end up going home with a car. I mean, you know, they keep hitting whammies throughout the entire thing, but he did win a car.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I'm so glad they're doing that. I'm waiting for Card Sharks next, where they remember
that,
the card.
They're doing
remember,
that.
Remember Card Sharks?
Yeah,
like
it's going to be
seven. Hosting. They're like, change that card.
Oh, no, no.
Higher, lower.
Yeah. Yeah. Card Shark, that's going to be hosted by Joel McHale. I think that's on tonight.
Can't wait. I'm going to watch it. Can't wait. NHL Game 7 tonight, Game 6 on Thursday. Got a lot of good stuff. U.S. Open starts Thursday, too. SB Nation Radio.